Sometimes, when I used to hear in Cafe Society, downtown, I guess it was during the war years, she subsequently came up to 52nd Street. I used to see her there, but down there was a perfect setting for her. And I don't really think I listened any more than I looked, mm-hmm, because I was looking at really one of the most exquisite pieces of humanity I've ever seen in my life. Not just beauty, but vibrancy, vitality, an affirmation of life. And as for her problems, you'd never have known that she was anything but the healthiest human being on the face of the earth. And she expressed, the miracle of life.
We invite you now to spend an hour with American composer and songwriter Alec Wilder and friends as they discuss and perform American popular song. With Mr. Wilder at the piano is his colleague and fellow songwriter, Lunis McGlowan, and today's special guest, popular jazz singer and song stylist, Miss Carrie Smith. Our subject, the songs of Billie Holiday.
A singer named Billie Holiday may have influenced more American singers than anybody else. Love a Man is one of the songs that she made very famous, and we have, along with composer Alec Wilder, a lovely lady to sing some Billie Holiday songs, a lady named Carrie Smith, and I think, Carrie, you must like Billie Holiday.
So much so that I would have walked here to sing some of her tunes, some of the songs that she did. I was greatly influenced by this woman.
And you probably know that early song, Alec. This one was one of Billie's first recordings, and recorded in 1935, a tune called "Miss Brown to You."
Yeah, I remember the song.
And it's written by Richard Whiting.
But now that's the mystery. I would never have known that. Mm-hmm. I never knew it.
Ralph Ranger and Leo Robin.
Well, they two wrote as a team usually, just the two of them. But I never knew they wrote that.
The tune might not have lasted had not Billie.
That's right. That's quite true.
Who do you think is coming to town? You'll never guess who. Lovable, huggable, Emily Brown, Miss Brown to you. What if the rain come pattering down? My heaven is blue. Tennessee sending me Emily Brown, she's Miss Brown to you. I know her eyes will thrill you. Go slow, oh, don't you all get too familiar. Why do you think she's coming to town? Just wait and you'll see. Lovable, huggable, Emily Brown is baby to me. Who do you think is coming to town? You'll never guess who. Lovable, huggable, Emily Brown, Miss Brown to you. What if the rain come pattering down? My heaven is blue. Tennessee sending me Emily Brown, she's Miss Brown to you. I know her eyes will thrill you. You better go slow. Oh, don't you all get too familiar. Why do you think she's coming to town? Just wait and you'll see. Lovable, huggable, Emily Brown is baby to me. You know the lovable, huggable, Emily Brown is baby to me.
You know, that's marvelous. The way you did that song made me feel it was a much better song than I think it actually is. And in reverse order, I think that sometimes a singer can sing a song badly and fail to make you realize that it's a great song. But in this case, there's a lot of provocative material in it to make a singer want to run with it. But at the same time, it isn't a very meaty song, is it? But you make it sound totally acceptable.
I Cover the Waterfront was an early recording by Billy, and this also became one of her standards. Even though as a Johnny Green song, it's been accepted beyond Billy's performances.
Was it, yeah, a complete standard, but written to a movie title.
I know that you talked about this song in your book, Alec, talking about the how it returns from the key of A major to the apparent key G major by dropping a melody from a C sharp to a C natural. It's a very unusual
song. Oh, it is. Oh, it's a very ingenious song and a very natural sounding song. I think it's a superb standard song. By the way, I have never, I'm stupid because I'm supposed to have covered everything when I wrote that book, I'm not aware of the verse. Is there any chance you could, Carrie, could you sing the verse? Because I really never heard it sung, ever.
I'd love to do the verse, and this is one of the things that in my stage work which fascinates me about this particular song is the verse.
Away from the city that hurts and mocks, I'm standing alone by the desolate docks. In the still and the chill of the night, I see the horizon, the great unknown. My heart has an ache, it's as heavy as stone. Will the dawn coming on make it light? I'll cover the waterfront. I'm watching the sea. Will the one I love be coming back to me? I'll cover the waterfront. In search of my love, and I'm covered by starry sky above. Here am I, patiently waiting, hoping and longing. Oh, how I yearn. Where are you? Oh, you forgetting. Will you remember? And will you return? Cover the waterfront. I'm watching the sea for the one I love must soon come back to.
It was a nice performance of Waterfront.
And thank you for the verse very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Alec is he's a stickler for having verses whenever possible.
Right.
There's a song that Billy did was very strange. I think it had a lot to do with her career. It was called Strange Fruit.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, yes.
Would you sing a couple bars, maybe?
If I remember. Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. It was a very strange song.
Yes, Milt Gabler, who owned a small company, a Commodore record company. Billy had signed a contract, wanted to sing this song, and Milt said, look, it won't sell. You know, that song is so strange and so dark. But if you want to sing a blues on the other side, I could probably sing the blues. Do you remember what the blues was, Carrie?
I think it was...
Fine and Mellow.
Fine and Mellow.
Yeah.
Which was one of her big hits.
Yeah. You know, Alec, Billy was always called a blues singer by a lot of people. She was a jazz singer. She wasn't just a blues singer.
No, she wasn't a blues singer. No. That's right.
But she did the blues.
Yes, yeah, she did the blues.
Which is an important part of the whole American popular song.
Of course. Deal. Came right out of the heart of the country.
Yes. I don't know, we've been doing many blues forms. It's a 12-bar, and this was a strictly 12-bar form that she did in Fine and Mellow. But she wrote herself. Let's have a go at it.
My man don't love me, treats me all so mean. My man, he don't love me, treats me all so mean. He wears high drapin', stripes are really yellow. He wears high drapin', stripes are really yellow. But when it starts in to love me, he's so fine and mellow. If you treat me right, baby, I'll stay home every day. If you treat me right, baby, I'll stay home every day. But you're so mean to me, baby, I know you're gonna drive me away.
Fascinating. I mean, that whole blues form. There's another song which you might think would be completely changing the subject, except that really isn't, because, for example, Marion McPartland, when she plays this song, always thinks of it as the blues. It isn't. It's much more complex than blues, and it's not a 12-bar form. It's Willow Weep for Me.
Well, it does have a blues sound.
It has a feeling of the blues, and it has the... extraordinary distinction of having been written by one of the few female writers. There
Who
were
was
never
by?
Many. She's, I hope, still alive. Anne Ronell. She wrote another song which was a hit called Rain on the Roof.
Oh, yeah.
And another big song that she made a fortune out of called Who's Afraid of Big Bad Wolf.
Oh,
she
really?
Wrote it for a film because she was married to a, later on, married to, I think, a director or producer in Hollywood. But this song, I think, was printed in 1932.
Mm.
A very advanced, very innovative song. And also, I saw other songs of hers, which I was fool enough not to collect. They're in print. I don't know what publisher had them. They're probably gone by now. Even more complex than this. And yet they printed them. And some kind man must have done it because she was way ahead of her time. And keep in mind the fact she was a girl. And mm-hmm. girls had tough time getting into publishing offices. And very often they didn't really have any talent to write. I think this is one of the
great
songs. Oh,
it is. I had no idea it was written by, as far back as 1932.
Yeah, way back there.
Because musicians like this tune. You know, it sounds like it came out of the 40s.
I know. Oh, I think it's a great song.
Alec, is there a particular story behind Willow Weep for Me? Is it a Southern song or?
I don't know. I don't know the history. You know who wrote the lyric on it? Did she write her own lyric?
I think so. I think that's the only name that appears in the catalog here.
I think she, no, I have a hunch that she had no knowledge of the South or had not even, this is just a hunch, that she was fascinated by the idea of the willow doing the weeping. And I mean, the fact that there are weeping willow trees. Well,
yes.
let go ahead and weep,
yeah.
Because I need tears.
Yes.
And I think she was just carried away with, if she did the lyric, the idea of it. But words and music, it's, to me, a perfect song.
I think it's a great song. For a singer.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Singers love to sing that song.
And the release, of course, is, for those days, way out.
Oh, yes. Extremely.
Oh, please sing it. Now, you can sing low or sing it high. I want to know. Well, I'll find out.
I think I'll sing it low.
All right, okay.
Listen to my plea. Listen, willow, and weep for me. Gone, my lover's dream, lovely summer dream. Gone and left me here to weep my tears into the stream. Sad as I can be, hear me, willow, and weep for me. Whisper to the wind and say that love has sinned. Leave my heart a-breaking and making a moan. Murmur to the night to hide her starry light, so none will find me sighing and crying all alone. Bend your branches down along the ground and cover me. When the shadows fall, bend, O willow, and weep for me. And weep for me.
You know, Billy really had a knack for picking some good tunes. Will of Wheat for me was is a remarkable tune.
Well, I'll practice that up what you just did with Billy.
Yeah, well, I think it's that type of song.
It's absolutely marvelous.
You know, Alec has said many times that sometimes a singer, and we've talked about this earlier in this show, that doesn't always get handed the best songs. But I Cried for You, which was a Billie Holiday standard. I know you mentioned in your book as being very unusual.
Well, I don't know how unusual, except that it, to me it's a glorious piece of pure melodic writing. And I just learned very recently today that it was written back in 1923, which is extraordinary because the first time I heard it was a John Scott Trotter arrangement, a very good one, Crosby. And I remember I just hung out in a wayside bar, not because of the booze, but because of a jukebox that had that tune. I just played it over and over and over and over and over. Melody, I couldn't believe it. It was very unusual for its time, and it's a very beautiful
jump.
Yeah, and then returning to the note. Go ahead.
Which is the six again.
Yeah, the sixth, the note that people love more than, I don't know, I've got a theory about it. But in any event, hearing you rehearse, I know that you're not going to do it as a ballad.
Well, Billy did it as a swing, too.
Yeah, and therefore I'm going to be less
happy
vocal
about it.
Well, I want to sob a little bit over the song, and I can't sob if it swings, you see. I need to cry quite a lot.
Well, we've already rehearsed it.
I don't know what you can do for me. Play me four measures of it as a ballad now. All right, now I'm better.
In other words, it's saying that I cried for you.
I cried, yeah.
Yes. I cried for you. Your turn to cry over me. Every road has a turning. One thing you're learning. I cried for you. What a fool I used to be. I found two eyes a little bit bluer. I found a heart a little bit truer. I cried for you. Now it's your turn. Go on and cry over me. Now I cried for you. Your turn to cry over me. Every road has a turning. One thing you're learning, baby, I cried for you. What a fool I used to be. Now I found a heart a little bit truer, yeah. I cried for you. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Go on and cry over me. One of my favorite songs was Lover Man, of Billie Holiday, yes. Lover Man, I think that was one gorgeous song.
That was the first song she did with the strings.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a great song.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I think it's one of the most remarkable songs. It came in quite late, too, didn't it? I mean, what's the copyright notice on
that? Well, it's in about 41.
41, that? Mm-hmm. Well, and I met that. I think the man who wrote the music is Ram Ramirez.
Ramirez, yeah.
And nicest dearest man, one of the sweetest men I ever met, and I wanted to ask him. I didn't know what his history had been, nothing about him. I only learned recently he was a piano player, worked for Ella, worked for Charlie Barnett, worked for all kinds of people, and was considered a kind of a child prodigy. What I wanted to say was, well, if you wrote that song, you must have hundreds of others. And I never dared because I didn't, you know, I just met him, and I just wondered, what is the history of the man? And you told me that you looked him up.
I can't find anything about him either. That song also, in addition to him, is credit is given to Jimmy Davis and Jimmy Sherman, who must have done some of the lyrics.
I guess so, because this sounds like a
piano player
song. Yeah.
There's an interesting thing about this song. In the bridge, during the bebop era, everybody has always been infatuated with T for Two.
Yep.
And in the bridge of Love a Man, Dizzy, a Bird, or some of those people in the late 40s, discovered another way to put T for Two in the song. Carrie, will you do the bridge just... I'll give you, before we do a performance of the song, and I'll show you what I was talking about.
I've heard it said that the thrill of romance can be like heavenly breeze.
That's so marvelous. They were always doing that. They were.
Oh, yeah, they loved
Parker
it
with his Indiana, what did he call his version of it? There are always, you know, this is a mystery.
Yeah, Whispering was called Groovin' High.
No, there's still another one. And it kind of tickles me that there are many songs which are based on the changes of other songs which come out and get their own copyright. And if the publishers had any, if their ears weren't plugged up, they'd know that something of theirs was being taken away from them. I don't know how the copyright laws work, but there are an infinite number of songs which have been built on specific harmonic changes, not all of them simple sequences of sevenths, and been published and copyrighted. And the original publisher should really, by some justice, get some money out of them. And, of course, they never do because they don't even know that they've been taken.
That's right.
I like that.
But I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I've never had. Never had no kissing. Oh, what I've been missing. Love a man, oh, where can you be? The night is cold, and I'm so all alone. I'll give my soul just to call you my own. A lot of moon above me, but no one to love me. Lover man, oh, where can you be? I've heard it said that the thrill of romance can be like a heavenly breeze. I go to bed with a prayer that you'd make love to me. Strange as it seems, someday we'll meet, and you'll dry all my tears and whisper sweet little things in my ear. Hugging and a kissing. Oh, what we've been missing. Love a man, oh, where can you be? and you'll dry all my tears and whisper sweet little things in my ear, a hugging and a kissing. Oh, what I've been missing, love of man.
It's another singer's song.
Yes,
yeah, that's a singer's song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don Redman wrote a tune way back in 1929.
Oh, that darling man.
He was very talented, wasn't he?
He was a piano player with the McKinney's Cotton Pickers before he started his own band.
Do you know this tune, "G Baby Ain't I Good to You"?
Well, I remember the title.
It only has 16 bars, so he was accustomed, I guess, to writing short songs. It sounds kind of like a blues song, and it was one of Billy's standards.
It's short, but it has so much to say in it.
I don't know this other man's. You familiar with?
Andy Razzaf.
Yeah,
he used to write with Fats.
Did he?
Waller, and I'm told that he, besides being, you know, a good, highly competent lyric writer, that he was. Somebody told me recently he was an extremely brilliant man in his own right, quite outside of the world of lyric writing. Well, I don't know anything about him.
Well, this is a great lyric on "G Baby, Ain't I Good to You." Don't you think, Carrie?
I think so.
Sounds like Billy too.
Right.
Treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a girl, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? Bought you a fur coat for Christmas, a diamond ring, a big Cadillac car, and everything. Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? Baby, ain't I good to you? Christmas, a great big diamond ring, a big Cadillac car, and everything. It's love make me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? To you.
There's a song that Billy did. It's called "Mandy Is Two."
Oh, Lord, yeah.
That's one of Alex's favorites.
I love that song.
Brilliant piece of material, and to hear Billy sing it, it sounds as though she's saying, oh, this is a great song and I want to do it, you know.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a lyric. Yes. It's John Mercer again, and and it's one of the tenderest.
Master.
I think it's because he and his wife Ginger adopted a little girl, Mandy. And
oh, really?
And when she was 2 years old, he had to write a, you know, the way you write songs for your children.
Well, it's cheaper than buying them something.
And the fellow who wrote the tune was a piano player out in California. They called him Fidgy McGrath. His name was Fulton McGrath, and I don't know if he's still alive or not. And it's a very dear song. The thing that puzzles me, and I think it puzzled you, is that the piano copy was made by a village idiot.
Yeah, right.
There's no indication of any harmonic pattern whatsoever.
It's one of the worst piano copies I've ever seen.
And so I can't understand, because after I remember that McGrath was a piano player, so obviously he didn't play it. If he played it this way, John would never have written the lyric. You could say, I can't be bothered with that. So some one of those awful people in those dimly lit, tiny little rooms off Broadway must have, you know, with a hangover, written this thing down.
You mean on that illustrious street called Tin Pan Alleys?
That's right.
It's a nice tune.
Oh, it's a lovely tune.
Beautiful tune. And I don't know if Billy had children or not.
No.
But from the way she sings this song, as if though she would be singing to her own kid.
Mandy is too. You ought to see her eyes of cornflower blue. They really look as if they actually knew that she's a big girl now. Mandy is too. You ought to see how many things she can do. She knows her alphabets and ties her own shoe. And no one showed her how. If you could see Her Majesty with braids in her hair, almost as though her Sunday bow came around and bought her an orchid to wear. Mommy is blue, 'cause her little girl is going on three. But Miss Amanda, she's as proud as can be that she's a big girl now. Now if you could see Her Majesty with braids in her hair, almost as though Sunday bow came around and bought her an orchid to wear. Mommy is blue because her little girl is going on three. But Miss Amanda, she's as proud as can be, 'cause she's a big girl now.
I loved hearing about Mandy's birthday.
Yeah.
Carrie, that was great.
Yeah, that's dear. Very dear.
Yeah, it's almost, it's really terrible to pull you out of that real happy mood down to one of, that Billy experienced a lot, and a tune called Don't Explain. You know, she was a very good songwriter. She didn't write a lot of lyrics, and yet in some cases she did, but there's a tune called Don't Explain that was one of her standards. It was written, around in the early 40s. And one of her husbands came home with lipstick on his collar. And she noticed it, and he started making a bunch of excuses. She says, oh, come on, man, don't explain.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Sure.
And that's,
what a good title.
And it stuck with her. And so she...
And she wrote this song.
She wrote this song with... a lyric by Arthur Herzog, Jr., with whom she wrote.
Don't know who he is.
Well, he wrote another song that we'll do later, with Billy, God Bless the Child.
Oh, he did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But don't explain. Carrie, don't you like that song? Isn't it an incredible song?
It's a great song, the words.
Yeah. And I heard you rehearsing. Well, I tell you what, let's just do it. Let's do it. I think Alec was out of the room. Let's do it for him.
All right.
Hush now, don't explain. Just say you'll remain. I'm glad you're back. Don't explain. Don't explain. What is there to gain? Skip that lipstick. Don't explain. You know that I love you, and what love endures. All my thoughts are of you, for I'm completely yours. Cry to hear folks chatter, and I know you cheat. Right or wrong don't matter. When you're with me, sweet, hush now, don't explain. You're my joy and pain, my life's yours, love. Don't explain.
Oh, Lord, that's fine. The way you said that last don't explain, oh, that absolutely wrapped it up for me. Really.
Yeah,
thank you.
He didn't have anything to say after that, did he, Carrie?
Well, I know on the record that she does. She chops it, you know. Don't explain.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Right.
That's marvelous.
Yeah, I had the good fortune to see the Carnegie Hall concert, which was, I guess, about the last big concert Billy gave, and she did that, that tune, and did it the same way, and turned away and walked away from the microphone after she said it, as though, you know, that was the period.
Yeah, right, right.
She put on it and did
yeah. Very
and
definite.
Nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's one standard, I guess, that Billy is well known for, it would be a tune that she wrote, again, with Arthur Herzog, called God Bless the Child. Carrie, you've got to know this song, I'm sure, if you're into Billie Holiday.
I sure do.
It's a very curious song.
Oh, it is.
Song.
It's extraordinary.
It's a song with a message.
And it's almost like a blues.
It's more mysterious. It's almost a mysterious song.
Mm-hmm.
The shape of it is, I mean...
Yes, 10 bars.
Is that what it is? Yeah. That's what it was, 10 bars.
And it has almost a hymn-like quality, too. I see the blues, but it's very curious.
That's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news.
Mama may have and Papa may have. God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. The strong gets more, while the weak ones faint, and empty pockets don't ever make the great. Mama may have, Papa may have, God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Of bread and such, and you can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Papa may have, God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Got his own. That's got his own.
Whew, that's absolutely marvelous. I don't even talk about that.
Yeah, I think Billy would have been happy to
hear
that.
Listening to Billie Holiday's records, I find that she sang a lot of quarter tones.
Yeah, well, she did, yeah. It was like between, what we'd call a half step between G and G sharp.
Yeah.
She'd get in between the two notes.
Somewhere in between those two notes.
And that's hard to do.
Well, it's hard to do, and it really stems from... it's an Oriental device. You find it in Near Eastern and Eastern music, Indian music, in Hebrew music. The quarter tone is an accepted part of what I believe they call, in Hebrew music, cantillation.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are certain guideposts, all of that music is not written. But there are certain points where you certain times where you have to reach a certain cadence. But in between times, all improvisatory. So it's kind of fascinating that
because
Western music...
There's no way to write this down.
Oh, no. Well, there are tricks now.
Are there?
Yes, there are now, because they use quarter tones in string writing, and there are markings now for it. And even for brass, you can get quarter tones, but you have there's a marking, a whole new a system of notation because of a lot of experimentations going on in concert music. The fact that she would... Well, she needed another note.
And so she just bent it.
She just bent it and had such good ears she could control it at a certain point.
Alec, you wrote an incredible song called Lady Sings the Blues, and I don't think I've ever told you. And, of course, it was in honor of Billie Holiday, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I heard this performed at a concert with a tenor saxophone player.
Really?
Yes.
Who?
Anybody? Well, nobody you would know.
For heaven's sake, the things
orchestra.
I don't hear.
Yeah. But it's a marvelous song. How did you happen to write it?
Well, a fellow who, this extraordinary lyric writer, Bill Engvik, I wish he were writing now because he's so, so talented. He had a friend who worked in a publishing house, the publishing house that published Billie Holiday's biography, autobiography, whichever it was. And the advance sheets were coming through, and he saw the title. Immediately called Bill up in the country and said, there's a title to a book that's a title for a song. If ever I heard one, it's called The Lady Sings the Blues. Bill, I don't even think, told me. He just went ahead and wrote this, to me, extraordinary lyric. And it, to me, when a lyric is great, the song is half written. Because if a man has a sense for the singing phrase, the singing line, you have less problem finding notes. I mean, it's half done. In the course of your rehearsing, I think, Carrie, you find this song a little difficult, and I admit that I got carried away with the lyric, and I took chances.
It's a difficult song.
But does it work?
It works.
Yes, it works. Well, if it works...
And it tells the story.
Oh, that lyric sure tells a story. But I was trying to live up to the lyric, frankly. And if I did, I'm glad now. Probably because of its difficulty, I don't think much has ever happened to this song. I think that Cleo Lane recorded it, which I've never heard. And somebody else did it. And I think you heard the other record, Carrie. And she doesn't sing all the right notes, probably, because I wrote two difficult notes,
right.
And I'd let her name be nameless. But I don't even know who she is myself, except I don't blame anybody for not... And then that release probably made you a little nervous when you were rehearsing in Lunas, didn't it?
Well, it's a difficult song, but I'm sure Billie Holiday would have certainly liked
it. I think
song.
She would have liked
it,
yeah.
Of course she would have. It's her kind of song.
The lady sings the blues. The lady walks alone. She's got no dream at all. The heart she used to call her own has turned to stone. No one hears her song. She's weeping in the night because her Mr. Right went wrong. She cries, let me forget. Let me be smart. She tries to get free, but who can free? Night and day, the memory of it clings, and so the lady sings the blues.
thank you very, very much, Carrie. That was a...
You should be very proud of that song, Alec.
Well, may I say one more thing about it? I'd like to say one more thing about it, Alec. That I think any singer out there should latch on to this song.
Really?
If she's a singer.
Oh, that's...
Because it's quite a challenge, believe me.
Well, thank you very much. I hope...
And I hope it's somebody getting it take off.
Oh, I'd love that. And listen, I think we've been very quiet about a couple of guys around here that have been playing marvelously all the time, and it's Terry Lassiter and Jim Leike. Jim is a drummer, and Terry's a guitar player, and bless him. Thank him.
And Lunas is not doing too bad.
Oh, my Lord, I don't even... But you know one thing he does? There's one thing he does. He gets an idea in rehearsal, and I hear this little thing going, and I say, remember, do it again. I'll never hear it again. I want all those things. I want tape running continuously.
Carrie, it's been a lot of fun having you. I can't think of anybody who could have revived these Billie Holiday songs.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
It was incredible, and I'm sure Billie would have liked hearing it, too. It's been a pleasure having you here along with Mr. Alec Wilder.
Thank you, and it's quite a pleasure, and I had so much fun doing it.
Your guide for these weekly sessions of American Popular Song is the distinguished composer and songwriter Alec Wilder. Joining him today were singer Carrie Smith and songwriter Lunas McGlowan. American Popular Song is a production of the South Carolina Educational Radio Network and is made possible by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. Directed by Dick Phipps, executive producer William D. Hayes.